Rodney Orr, welcome inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good. Just enjoying a Friday night before Christmas and Alabama trying to prepare for Ohio State and trying to, as you and I talked about earlier, trying to pick up a little bit of that intensity as they get a little bit closer, now 13 days away from Ohio State.
Yeah, I think, here we are, day four into practices, and, from what we can tell, which we don't, we've stressed this many times, but we don't get a lot of opportunity out there, maybe, 5 to 10 minutes, depending on the day, but you kind of get a feel for maybe, some of the enthusiasm and the energy there in the indoor facility, and it seems to be going pretty well, Ryan. It actually seems like it's picked up a little bit.
It did today, and as we look at it, I guess so you get a little bit closer to time. When you're going through these fundamentals and you're going back to the basics of college football, not that you're going back to the basics, but just re-stressing some of those fundamentals, you look at bowl practice, it is sort of two parts. The first couple of days, first 3 or 4 days, that's what it's about, and then you get focused now on the game plan and implementing
Ohio State, some of their players. And I mean, just think about this, Ryan. I kind of had to kind of smirk while I was out there, or laugh, whatever, when I looked out there and I saw guys the quality of both Scarborough and LT Tenpenny emulating Ezekiel Elliott, the running back from Ohio State. And I'm thinking, wow, how many schools could have those kind of quality players, giving you that kind, giving you a look, that you need. I mean, it's really incredible when you think about it.
Let me go back to this SEC Big Ten brand for a couple of minutes. We were talking about this earlier. You look at the Michigan job and whether those rumors are true that they're floating out $8 million to Jim Harbaugh to go to Michigan. You got some reports that he's going, some reports he's staying there, or not staying in San Francisco, but staying in the National Football League. But looking at the Big Ten, looking at it from a statement game, to me, I think they've drifted back as a conference, and I think this game is important. Even if Ohio State does not win it, they still need to make a statement that they can play with the big boys of college football.
Well, first of all, let's just be honest. Let's take the conferences out of it for just a second, and no matter what anybody really says, Ohio State is one of the big boys. I mean, they're one of the perennial powers. There's about 10 of them. And Ohio State's always been one of them and always will be one of them. And Urban Meyer's done a great job there. I mean, look at his record over the last 3 years. He's won 12 games every year. And they're a good football team. He is reloading them with talent. They were once one of the more talented teams in the country in the 90s under John Cooper. They were loaded with talent. You go back and look at the team in 94 that Alabama beat in the bowl game. And, I mean, they were loaded. But back to what you're talking about, certainly I think that, these guys, these players on their team and their coaching staff have heard what you're talking about. I mean, and Urban Meyer's been in the SEC, and he knows what it's all about. He knows how to compete. He knows what it takes to compete with teams like Alabama. So, I mean, I think that's certainly kind of, with him at Ohio State, that's kind of setting the bar in that conference of what it takes to kind of elevate. And, I don't know what the commitment is of some of the other schools. I just don't know that, you obviously Penn State, they're going to have a very strong commitment. Michigan certainly is going to have that. I don't know as a conference as a whole if it's ever going to be anything near what the SEC is, but I think those teams certainly will be able to compete with the teams in the SEC, those three that I mentioned.
You ever think that we would be talking about almost $2 million coordinators and $8 million coaches, $7 million. Just thinking about it 10, 15 years ago, those numbers were, I mean, we didn't even look at it that way. But now it's become the norm that you're paying coordinators over $1 million, and most quality coaches are at least over $4 million in college football.
Well, it was in the late 80s. I remember Ole Miss, their assistant coaches were making, some of their assistant coaches were making $35,000 a year. You talk about a dramatic increase, and it's really kind of boomed, actually, since Nick Saban, has gotten to Alabama. I mean, it's kind of, the coaching salaries have really escalated, and, it is amazing. Just, the question is, how far will they go? I mean, you're talking about coordinators making $1.6 million, and you know, what have you. I mean, it is incredible. No, I never really expected to, you know, I never would have anticipated, you know, talking about an assistant coach, you know, making that kind of money.
And if the one part, and I know we'll go back to Alabama here in a couple of minutes, but, you know, you look at the coordinators being paid this much in college football, you're almost working out those smaller schools because the smaller schools are not able to afford to pay their head coaches. And if you're a coordinator, you know, like Will Muschamp, looking at a job possibly there at Houston, I think he was on the short list of making that that run. But it's almost – it's not beneficial to them to go and take those smaller jobs when you can go and you can work with the cream of the crop as far as talent and to be able to make that money. So it's in one sense, it's cutting out that smaller school like those – you know, those get only can afford 1.5 million, 1.3 in that range. These guys are choosing to be coordinators rather than head coaches at smaller programs.
Yeah, and again, I just think it depends on where that particular coach is at that time in terms of in his career, what he wants, what he thinks is best for him. I mean, I think that, you know, sometimes like perhaps, you know, a guy may think, well, I'd rather be running my own program at Houston. You know, be the head coach, and you know, then sometimes maybe you have a guy like Will Muschamp that feels that, you know, maybe the best thing for him to do is to, you know, be at a school like an Auburn where he can compete at a very high level, can recruit, you know, at a very high level, and you know, think along the lines of, you know, hey, I'll get another shot with a, you know, maybe a step up from the University of Houston, you know, maybe a South Carolina, maybe another, you know, SEC school, whatever it might be, you know, in the very near future, and it might be beneficial just to kind of keep my name in the limelight as a coordinator. So, I mean, but I just think it's just an individual thing, but I can see your point, you know. When you're talking about financially, it certainly could eliminate some of those smaller schools.
Rodney, get us caught up to date with recruiting, and it was a big weekend this past weekend. Tell us some of those guys that maybe had some of those good visits. We picked up a commitment to the University of Alabama. Tell us more on recruiting. Get us caught up to date.
Well, first of all, the commitment to Matt Womack, offensive lineman out of Senatobia, Mississippi. And, you know, Matt's been around a while. We first talked to his dad a couple of years ago when Matt was a sophomore. That's how far back he goes. And, you know, at that time, we really didn't know where, you know, how he would develop, but he certainly has developed quite well and, you know, was committed to LSU early. You know, has flipped to Alabama, outstanding looking prospect, 6'6" pounds. And, you know, he's got a great work ethic. I think he's going to fit in really well. I think he fits perfectly with kind of what Alabama does physically from lining up, running the football. And then, you know, some other guys that were in, some of the guys were committed already. Speaking of some that weren't, Jonathan Taylor is a junior college defensive lineman from over in Mississippi. You know, he originally signed with Georgia out of high school. He's a very highly touted defensive lineman. You know, 6'4", 340-pound guy that's more of a nose-type guy, but you know, very athletic too, and you know, was dismissed from the program over at Georgia. Ended up over here at Kapiah Lincoln in Mississippi, and had a really good year. And this guy really is extremely talented. I mean, whoever ends up getting him, whether it's Alabama, LSU, Mississippi State, whoever it is, he hasn't signed yet. He could have signed on Wednesday, but he's holding off. Probably will sign sometime before New Year's. But I'm telling you, keep an eye on him, Ryan, because he's an extremely talented guy no matter where he ends up.
Would he be a mid-year enrollee?
Yes, he can sign. He could have signed on Wednesday. You know, he's still, as his coach, a junior college coach told me a couple of days ago, and we had it on TiderInsider.com, that, you know, he still has to, you know, handle a few issues that he has in terms of personal issues that he needs to wrap up and get cleared up, and once he does, he'll make that decision here within the next coming, you know, 2 weeks. And I think Alabama's in really good shape there, but, you know, let's kind of wait and see. But I think he'd be a huge pickup no matter where he goes. I mean, he's an outstanding prospect. And then I was going to mention CeCe Jefferson, the outstanding linebacker from down in Florida near the Gainesville area. He, you know, he's already made an official visit to Alabama. He came back on an unofficial visit this past weekend with his father. They had a great time. And, you know, I think Alabama's in the running now again. Remember, he's 45 minutes from Gainesville. So, you know, it's really going to make it difficult. Certainly Florida's a team that's going to be tough to beat. But I think Alabama's in there strongly. And I think Ole Miss is in there pretty strongly, too. So, you know, we'll just kind of see how that one shakes out.
Let me go back to the Alabama-Ohio State game. We're now 13 days away from that, and 2 weeks from today, we'll know the result of that game in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, Alabama taking on Ohio State. Give me the ways that you think Alabama could get beat in this game if they don't play this in a certain area. When you look at this game, what jumps off to you about these two matchups?
Well, when we're talking specifically about Alabama and Ohio State, I think the first thing that comes to mind is I think that Alabama can't turn the ball over. They can't make a lot of mistakes and give Ohio State anything. I mean, if they do and they keep Ohio State in the game, then I think, Ohio State has a great chance to, pull off what I would consider some sort of an upset. But, at the same time, if Alabama does what it's supposed to do, I think Alabama's a better team. I do think Ohio State is really coming along. I think they've, the job that Urban Meyer's done this year with, now having to win the Big Ten championship game with the third quarterback, that's pretty amazing. I mean, think about it. I think Ohio State's on their way to, really coming up and being a very strong program every year under Urban Meyer and competing for national championships. But I do think that right now Alabama's still the better team, and I think if they don't make, don't give the game away, don't make mistakes, then I think it's going to be difficult for Ohio State to beat Alabama.